Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll take a closer look at the new announcements from Google. Plus, as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email at any stage. techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But we're going to start this week with Google because the Made by Google event took place earlier in the week on Tuesday, if memory serves. We got a whole host of exciting devices, and I'm delighted to say that John Riley of TheEffect.net is with me now to talk through them all. John, how are you?
Great, Jess.
It's been a while since you've been in, and there's been so much going on. I know the last few times we were chatting about the Honor devices, which you've been both very impressed by. But I think it's safe to say you and I are both huge fans of the Google Pixel range, right? And we have been since the very beginning.
Yeah, just because what they were doing, like even prior to Pixel, I don't know if you remember the Nexus range. It was kind of Google partnered with different manufacturers to make what they saw as the purest version of Android. Again, I was I never really got on the bandwagon because they were too expensive at the time. But now with this Pixel range, which is about 8 years on the go now, 2016. So yeah, I've been a fan ever since they launched, and I've kind of been properly using them since the Pixel 5. As my daily driver, as much as you hate that term.
I do hate that term.
But yes, I've been Pixel fan for a long time now. And yeah, other manufacturers are really, really pushing the boundaries of kind of what's capable of folding phones, cameras, AI, software, all that. But then again, going back to a Pixel, you're getting that purest version of Android, which I'm a big fan of. I'm really locked into the Google ecosystem anyways, with my home, you know, the Google Home stuff, YouTube, Gmail, all that jazz. So having a device that's able to understand all of me and understand what I use things for, now with their push into AI, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think I don't know about you, but when the talk around the tech ecosystem started creeping around a few years ago, I kind of rolled my eyes at it going, what does that mean? But as time goes by, if you are a Gmail user, an Android phone user, a Google Chromecast user, it does take a lot of the, like, just ever so slightly smooths out the
friction.
Yeah, it's frictionless, right?
Frictionless, yeah.
And it is beautiful and it does make a difference. But I was chatting about it briefly on the Pat Kenny Show. We were kind of previewing the event, but we obviously watched the event. We've been briefed. Let's talk through the key announcements, because there was an awful lot to digest. But what are the key takeaways?
Well, the first thing is that it's happening at this time of year. I think usually with a lot of previous Pixel devices, they were launched, or these Pixel made by Google device made by Google events were an October window. So they'd be kind of coming in well after Samsung at the start of the year, and then Apple, one of the big competitors, would be usually a September window. So they kind of caught everyone off guard when they went with an August launch. So not only did they go early, they went hard with the amount of things that came in this launch. So we got basically four new phones, new earbuds, and a new smart watches, plural, because there's two sizes. So really it's the Pixel phones that most people will kind of care about to a certain extent. So you've got a Pixel 9 is the overall branding name for this year. So you have a Pixel 9, Pixel 9 Pro, Pixel 9 Pro XL, and then the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. So there's been a lot of chopping and changing and mashing up of different timelines of launches, of branding names and the whole malarkey. So understandably, I can appreciate if people find it a bit confusing, but it basically gives the consumer more choice for different price points and for different wants, different needs. So they are doing somewhat like what Apple do with their Pro models. There's Pro and Pro Max.
Yeah.
And then there's an ordinary iPhone 15. So there's the different versions for the different needs. So Pixel are capitalizing on this, going out earlier and then bringing the Fold into the Fold. Again, that was not intended.
I appreciate it.
It's in. And because usually with the likes of Samsung, say, they bring out their S20 whatever range.
Yeah.
And then your folding and flipping range come out about 6-7 months later. Whereas now Google are the first to kind of bring out their latest kind of candy bar block phones, normal phones in inverted commas, with now their new brand new folding phones. So you have a choice of four different kind of phones and one with a different format. So yeah.
Yeah, I think I actually quite like that it's all under the one umbrella, because if you're someone like us and you want the latest and greatest, and if you get the Samsung S whatever, and then 6 months down the line you see the foldable, you're kind of kicking yourself going, oh, maybe I should have waited. Now, I know that there are different cohorts of people who'd want a foldable device or a flip device versus the candy bar device. But I did appreciate just having it all under the one umbrella. Let's start with just the flagship. And I hate saying the bog standard, but like the 9, the Pixel 9. Let's just start with that one and then we'll work our way up from there.
Yeah, so as you said, the bog standard is like the entry level, and This is going to give you, kind of, most consumers will have no problem with this. With the capabilities of the camera alone, there's a wide angle and then an ultra wide angle lens in the back, so you're getting two lenses. Again, most consumers are more than happy with that. And then the AI trickery and the software smarts in the background will make sure Google will give you a really good photo coming out of this entry-level phone in the Pixel 9 range. So you're looking at about a 6.3-inch display. So I think that lines up pretty closely with just the iPhone 15, the entry-level iPhone. So design-wise, again, quite angular, quite rounded corners, but kind of angular sides, flat-sided, again, like the latest Pixels or the latest iPhones and the latest Samsungs even. They're all kind of getting very homogenized. But you've still got your kind of iconic camera bar, for want of a better term, on the back that kind of makes a Pixel always stand out when you see it in someone's hand. You got your 120Hz display. You know, I've said, I could go through all the lists, but I've said this, we keep saying it, it's really hard to buy a crap phone now.
Yeah.
And this Pixel line, which is now not necessarily their entry level. This 9 is the entry level in this 9 series, but there is obviously the A series we're big fans of.
Yes, I love
so
it.
We're going to imagine there's going to be a 9A in a number of months that's going to really be the entry level. They're going to strip back a few more features. But this now, as someone that wants to get on the Pixel bandwagon and wants the latest processor, because this really all brand new Pixel 9 series phones we're discussing have Google's latest Tensor G4 processor, which is just really, really focused on AI and efficiency.
Yeah, and the thing with the Google AI, again, I feel like I'm kind of bored of having the AI conversation, but the Google AI features are stuff that I actually use quite a lot. Like, there are some that are so beneficial. And what I like is that because everything here is produced and for Google, that there's no clunkiness. Like, everything is just intuitive and it makes sense, and it's stuff that you'd want to use on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's really, as you said, the intuitiveness, and going back to your point about the whole ecosystem, it's the frictionlessness that this AI Gemini, which is their AI kind of platform or kind of offering called Gemini, that's going to talk to all of your different services, your Gmails, your calendars, your YouTube videos, everything, that you can just talk to the phone going, what was that email that Jess sent me and what time am I meant to be in News Talk for the recording? It'll find the email, find you, find the time and put it in my calendar. Like, all this stuff is just so pain-free that a lot of the commentary I'm seeing now since the event last Tuesday, that they've definitely leapfrogged Apple in terms of, because, you know, we know that Apple is trying to get Apple intelligence, in inverted commas, or AI into their handsets via ChatGPT, via OpenAI. So a third party provider, really. So they've really kind of bet them to the punch. And these new Pixels coming out now, next week, the 22nd, we're going to get the Pro here. I think it's the entry level 9 and the Pro XL are the first two in the series to launch here in Ireland. They're just AI forward straight away. And you're going to have all these features and offers out of the box. So it's very, very, very impressive move from Google.
Yeah. And what I love is that it's not another brand just trying to make AI happen. As I said, these are practical things. Like, it's exactly that example of trying to search for an email that I sent you of what time you have to be here at.
Yeah.
It just cuts down on, even if it takes you 15 seconds, it's saving you that time.
It all adds up.
And it's not, you know, again, there's no novelty aspect to this. It is all practical tools that we would need and want and will absolutely benefit from.
Yeah. And again, it's a case of you're never going to use them all, but they've put such a breadth of offerings and different intuitive applications for AI. And again, you know, there is some that are kind of novelty or kind of party tricky, but that's more camera focused, more creativity focused. But for the practicality, the functionality and just the day-to-day usage of the phone, there's going to be so many via Gemini that you can just get so much more benefit and use from.
Yeah.
So just to say, for example, they've launched a new screenshots app.
Yeah.
So this app will sit on the phone. Every time you take a screenshot, the phone will scan it on the device. It's not sending your screenshots off to the server. It'll all be done on device and it'll analyze the data, the content, the imagery, everything. So when you go back into this screenshots app, you go, what was that phone that Jess sent me? Or what was that recipe my wife sent me to get ingredients for? I can literally go in going, recipe from Claire, and it'll pull it in and go, create a shopping list. It'll grab the contents of the recipe and I'll put that shopping list into my Keep, the Google's Note app. So that stuff is where you just really won't know how beneficial it's going to be until you use it.
Yeah, it's all just going to bleed in and people won't even realise it's AI. It's just a new way of doing things, which I'm all about. You mentioned the 9 Pro and then the Pro XL.
Yeah.
just let's talk through how the Pro models differentiate from the basic model, and then we'll look at the Pro versus XL.
So the kind of the main differences between the entry-level 9 and then the Pro and Pro XL models is that you are getting less RAM, which means it won't be that as powerful. You're still getting 12 gigs of RAM in the 9.
Which is bananas.
Which is a lot of RAM for an entry-level phone. And then when you move up to the 9 Pro and the 9 Pro XL, you're getting 16 gigs of RAM, which is like, there's laptops that don't even have that. Mm-hmm. Most laptops don't have that. But from what Google said during their presentation, this is all again to help power the AI processing on device to make sure it's not going to take you 10 minutes to do up a draft email via Gemini or whatever it may be. It's all very snappy, very quick, and this RAM is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting. It's going to get it over the line. I think those are the main things.
Are screen sizes different?
See that, yeah. So again, they line up in different aspects. So then with the Pixel 9 and the 9 Pro, they're basically the exact same sized dimensioned phone.
Mm.
So you're getting the same size screen and I'm really sure the same size battery. Yes, the same size battery. So they're going to look like almost the same phone in your hand, but around the back, you're getting an extra telescopic 5x zoom lens.
I get you. Okay.
Hence the Pro and moniker.
Yeah.
And so that's quite a big difference for people that are a fan of their photography, like myself, that wants to get the best zoom capabilities. Again, a lot of this stuff is going to play into the AI stuff that Google announced on the day and stuff you can do with Super Boost or Super Res Zoom, should I say. So those are the difference between what will look like the same phone with in your hand in terms of the size. But then when you turn it around, you're going to see there's three cameras on the 9 Pro. And then if we move up then to the XL model, mm-hmm. which is basically, as the name implies, it's just a larger version of the 9 Pro. So it's really, now that is basically the exact same device, but with a bigger screen and a bigger battery.
Yeah.
But across the board, they've got very, very similar specs. So a lot of people have been asking for this over the years. Sony used to do it years ago with their Xperia models. They'd give you like...
Do you remember Sony Xperia?
Honestly. Like, they were so cutting edge.
I haven't heard that in so long.
I know, yeah. They were cutting edge. They're still going, but they're just nowhere near as much. Like, no. The market share is falling out the bottom. But people really loved having all those flagship features in a compact device.
Yeah.
Like, I know my brother is a big fan of these kind of phones that you're not missing out on anything. If you go for this smaller 9 Pro over the XL model, which is the bigger 6.8-inch screen. So it is a beast.
It is huge.
Your listeners kind of think of the iPhone 15 Pro Max. So the biggest iPhone you can get, this XL model of the Pixel is the exact same size, basically. Mm-hmm. And then hence the smaller Pro model. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you are... Like, how do you and I, the king and queen of all the nerds, how do we decide which of the models to go for? Because that notion of the bigger is the best doesn't necessarily apply. Like personally, I used to have the iPhone 14 Pro Max and I was getting carpal tunnel syndrome in my handies because the phone was too big for me, which is just pathetic. But like in terms of spec, none of these phones are bad.
No, that's exactly it. As I said, 12 gigs of RAM, all three of the latest processor from Google. You're going to have an absolute breeze using any of these phones. Like, it's really just for the power users that want the telescopic zoom lens on the Pro models that you just cannot get on the entry-level 9. And then who wants a bigger screen for more? Again, if you're doing more productivity, you're watching more stuff on the train, on your commute, and you just want a bigger screen to enjoy your shows. And if your eyesight isn't as good, you want to have a bigger screen for bigger text. Okay. All this kind of stuff. It's all very, very subjective. Use case scenarios, but it's just that the consumer has choice now.
Yeah, but you're not going to be disappointed.
No, God, no. They're going to be really and Google have promised, like in the last year or so, even with Samsung again earlier this year, you're going to get 7 years of operating system updates. So you're going to get 7 years of Android updates and security software updates. So again, they're playing on that sustainability aspect, knowing people aren't upgrading their phones as much anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear 7 years, that's quite the warranty to be getting when you're paying close to €1,000 up to €1,200 for the top line XL model.
Yeah, and I know it's still a lot of money, but when you look at the tech spec alongside that price, like you are getting an awful lot in there.
Yeah.
And if you go on bill pay as well, it should be noted that that'll be much cheaper.
Affordable, more accessible. And I even think if you go directly via Google's own website and buy it outright without being on bill pay, you can do it in installments as well. So there's different options for different people. These phones aren't for everyone. People will just scoff at the idea that even the entry-level phone nowadays is close to €1,000. And that's totally acceptable.
Yeah, and we should stress that this is entry-level from the Google top of the range.
Yeah, from their flagship line.
As you mentioned earlier on, the A range is the more affordable one. And like, we're by no means saying that everyone needs to spend a grand on the phone.
Yeah.
It's just that we're dorks and we're very excited about it. Talking of being dorks, the 9 Pro Fold.
Yeah, now this is where it gets silly money now. This is the latest folding phone, which, as I said, they've brought in with this new series launch, because last year they had the Pixel 8 Pro came out last October, but then prior to that, they did bring out earlier in the year, they brought out the Pixel Fold, the first ever folding phone. So now they've kind of amalgamized both launches into one. You've got the Pixel 9 Pro Fold. It's basically in the hand, it almost looks like the 9 Pro. Because it's like on the outer display, it's a 6.3-inch screen. So with a kind of a somewhat peculiar-looking left-hand side display where the hinge is hidden. And then this then opens up, hence the name, Pixel 9 Pro Fold, to an 8-inch inner display, folding display, which is it's one of the biggest kind of displays on any phone in the world, really. It's enormous. It's full HDR, it's 120 hertz, it's super Actuar, which means it gets very bright, very clear. It is the top of the line kind of device we're looking at here from Pixel when it comes to their kind of technology for dimensions and compactness. And it's not that much thicker than the 9 Pro itself, which is very impressive in its own right.
Yeah, I want to see it in the hand because I love the idea of folding. I actually have the Samsung, the latest, what's it called, Fold from Samsung downstairs, and I haven't looked at it yet. But we had the Flip in the studio a few weeks ago with Pat Kenny.
Yeah, I love the Flip. It's nice.
I really like the Flip. But the thing that gets me, and I've said this to you before, I always go around with my phone in my back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Flip kind of just sticks out. Like, it's just like not ideal. And then the Flip and the Fold is kind of the same in that it's a bit chunky monkey.
It's a chunky monkey. And I think Pixel have come on hard here again with this development of this, just the second generation folding phone, and it's thinner than the latest Samsung Fold. So they've really kind of brought themselves to the table when it comes to folding options. And it's, as I said, the thickness is something that people are commenting on from the early hands-on I've seen, saying this thing unfolded is impressive, but even folded, it's not as obnoxiously thick as, unfortunately, as Samsung's device. We were on recently, I was chatting with you recently about Honor now. There's no competing with Honor. And even their V2 device, which we both played with, they've already brought out their V3, which is making its way to the UK in a couple of weeks. Not even rumours, it's been announced. That is obnoxiously thin. But this is kind of a westernised option for American audiences and Western Europe audiences. I know the Honors are available here in Ireland, but Americans really, this is their folding, the thinnest foldable available to them. So that's a big play they're using over in America.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think I asked you this in terms of the Honor phone, but as a gamer, do you see and buy into the notion of foldable phones for gamers? Like, does it really, like, is it more attractive as a gamer to play on a foldable, the bigger screen?
Yeah, and definitely, like, you know, there's a lot of streaming service. You can stream your PlayStation to your phone, you can stream your Xbox to your phone, but it's giving you, again, this is first world problems now, when you're using the inner display, it's quite a square landscape or orientation, so it's almost like a stamp or kind of a squared off stamp. So whereas if you're streaming your Xbox from home, you're getting quite a letterboxed effect. So you're not using all the real estate to play your PlayStation on the dart or on the bus. Whereas if you play games natively on the device, like Android games off the App Store with the latest Genshin Impact or whatever, Zero, there's another one I'm playing and I can't even think of the name right now, but that takes up the whole screen and it looks like it's very futuristic. I told you I was playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, thanks to Netflix kind of getting the rights to kind of let Netflix subscribers download these games via the app stores. And I was playing that game with my little attachment that kind of turns it into almost like a Nintendo Switch. And I was getting the full screen on the Honor V2, on a Magic V2. And I was like, this is cool. So now that I'm going to start commuting, now that I'm living further outside town, I can be one of those people that's on the bus, whipping up my folding phone, popping it into the little thing and playing my games natively on the phone. For sure, I'd be doing that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you if you are a gamer and if you have one of these foldable phones. Do you use it? Or even if you're not a gamer, what how do you find it? I am seeing them more and more on the loose, I have to say. But I would love to know your experience. You can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. The other thing with the Samsung ones, and obviously this isn't my review of it because I haven't reviewed it yet, but in some of the images I noticed that when it's closed over and it looks like a normal phone,
yes,
it's quite narrow. like the main phone bit
yeah.
is quite narrow.
They've been bashed for that for the number of years now. Which, like when ever since the first Fold, the Galaxy yeah. Fold, it was really thin and pointy that it was almost unusable. It was just like, because they really were focusing on the unfolded nature, mm-hmm. the unfolded aspect ratio, the inner screen was really impressive. So over the years, they've slowly kind of shrunken it down or shortened it. But even still, they're like, guys, you haven't gone down. It's still...
It's a weird aspect ratio.
Yeah,
like.
noticeably longer than it should be when folded over. Mm. Whereas now the latest Pixel, it's definitely shorter. It's more normal in the hand. It mm. looks like a phone. It's a, you know, the aspect ratio, as you said, is 6.3 inches, but I think it's like... 19.5. I don't know how exactly they do that again, but it's 20.9 aspect ratio. So basically, just it's more like a TV screen yeah. than a long thin letterbox.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a big thing. I think they've been trying to kind of refine over the years, but they still haven't got there. Mm. Whereas the new Pixel has more of a normal phone look when folded.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see the Google Fold when it does yeah. land onto our desks. Just briefly, we've got other devices in from Google, or news of other devices. We've got new Buds and a new watch.
Yeah, just quickly. So the new watch is the Pixel Watch 3, obviously the third generation. Thankfully, for the first time now in the third term's a charm, they've managed to offer two sizes. So for the last number of years, I've been using the smaller 44 millimeter kind of just a smaller bezel, smaller band, or smaller device in general. Now there's a 45 millimeter version, bigger screen, bigger battery, longer battery life, as you can imagine. All these things, just a bigger watch on mm-hmm. your wrist. So I'm looking forward to testing that out. And then we got the new Pixel Buds Pro 2. So I, again, big fan of the original Pixel Buds Pro. They came out in 2022. So we're 2 years on now. These new ones have been kind of pretty much redesigned from the ground up. They're smaller, they're lighter. They're said to have twice as good active noise cancellation. Mm-hmm. I'm using AI smarts again. For the first time ever, Google have made their own processing chip called the Tensor A1, purely for audio processing. So it's going to be really good for calls, really good for noise cancellation and just music quality. All this stuff is going to be playing, going via this new processor. And you're going to get like 8 hours of battery life with ANC turned
wow.
on.
Okay.
So like, you know, a lot of them kind of advertise themselves, I've got 20 hours of battery, but then you're not buying these state-of-the-art earbuds if you're not turning on the active noise cancellation. Yeah. So it's kind of a moot point. So I'm, again, as you can tell, excited to test out the new watch and the new buds. Very sad, but that's my life now.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll come back in when we've had yes. a chance to play with them and we can talk through them. If you've any questions about the devices, if there's anything that you want us to test or try, or if you want us to compare it to another phone, we kind of have all the flagships between us. Email techtalk@newstalk.com and we will answer as many questions as possible. If you want to get the first impressions before you hear them on the show, you can head over to theeffect.net as well. But for the moment, John Roddy, thank you so much.
Cheers, Jess.